Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 17 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects to get you ready for the NFL draft. And it's here, the NFL Scouting Combine, Indianapolis, Indiana, Lucas Oil Stadium, February 27th, Thursday. Getting to see the D-line, both the edge rushers and defensive tackles, along with the linebackers. And I'll tell you what, the first news really was kind of a scary one at first. We hear about Abdul Carter with a stress reaction in his foot. Luckily, doctors say he's not going to need surgery. He will be available for Penn State's pro day. That's huge for him. And then if you look at the defensive tackle spot, another guy that didn't get to work out, what was Kenneth Grant? Kenneth Grant, obviously big physical defensive tackle there from Michigan, incredibly athletic. We wanted to see if this guy could somehow break 4.9, run in that 4.8 range. I mean, for a dude who's 6'4", 331 pounds, that's absolutely ridiculous. But even without these two guys who we were expecting to run really fast, I mean, the deal with Carter is he going to run in the 4.4s? Could he potentially break 4.4? You know, that's a big question mark there. You know, I think people really want to see how fast Abdul Carter is. And again, Penn State's pro day, we will find all of that out. So defensive tackles took the field first, and really the guys that stood out, there were quite a few guys that really caught your eye. First, obviously, they run the 40. Ty Robinson was actually surprising for me. 6'5", 288 pounds, runs a 4.83 with a 1.71 split. Really a good burst off the ball. And this is a guy, look, he plays with a really strong motor, very physical at the point of attack. A guy that wants to shoot gaps and get into the backfield as well. There were a lot of times where he was getting held up coming off the ball. At the Senior Bowl, if this guy can stay low, really use that speed to power, because we know that he's got that quickness coming off the football, you know, he's a guy that I think is going to generate some buzz. I think early day three is probably where Ty Robinson is going to come off the board, although he might sneak into the back end of day number two. But, you know, I think for me, the showcase, one of those at least, was Derek Harmon, a guy who I thought looked incredibly athletic, looked pretty bendy, running a hoop drill in practice, in the workouts. 6'4 and a half, 313 pounds, 34 3/8-inch arms, so he had some of the longer arms in this group as well. 4.95 40, so again, sub 5, you know you're moving, especially at 313 pounds. One of the guys that was really a surprise was CJ West out of Indiana, the Kent State transfer, 6'1", 316 pounds. This guy lined up over the nose there for the Hoosiers. Another guy running sub 5, 4.95. And, with CJ West, he was a guy that was really strong at the point of attack. But you saw some of that burst, some of that lateral agility. And, he ran the hoop drill, did a really good job, sinking those hips and really, being able to run that drill, staying low. Low center of gravity coming through there, so that was something that was really nice to see as well. Other guys, I think really, the guys that didn't run fast, I think those are the things that everyone wants to know. Y.A. Black, Elijah Simmons, these are guys, look, 336 pounds, 334 pounds respectively. They're not going to be the fastest guys by any means. They're in that, over 5'3". These are guys that are going to be run stuffers primarily. Cam Jackson, another guy at 6'6", 328 pounds, another massive human being. Ran a 5.17, which actually isn't too bad for a guy his size. I mean, same with Nazir Stackhouse, 6'4", 327, 5.1, 5.40. He's got good size, wants to manhandle you, get really physical with you. I thought he looked pretty solid overall. They ran J.J. Pegues at fullback. 6'2", 309, 5'1", 5'40. But look, this was a guy that got to do a little bit of everything there at Ole Miss, lined inside and outside along that line. But, they lined him up in Wildcat. He was a fullback. I think he played tight end. I think at one point he had like 9 carries, and I think 6 of them were for first down. Racked up some touchdowns there at that fullback or Wildcat position as well. Pegues is an intriguing prospect, especially at that fullback spot. Day 3 guy, but definitely someone that you can get excited about. Joshua Farmer had a great day out of Florida State. 6'3", 305, 5'1", 140, 1.77, 10-yard split, 35-inch arms, and this was a guy that at the Senior Bowl, you saw the speed to power. This was a guy that wanted to muscle you, but he looked incredibly smooth in the drills. Change of direction, being able to stay low in the hoop drill especially stood out. Darius Alexander out of Toledo, 6'4", 305. Definitely a top 50 guy for sure. I think when we think about the second round, I keep thinking about Kansas City. Kansas City, you've got Chris Jones there. If you could put Darius Alexander next to him, firing off the ball, I think that would really be something there up front for KC. And look, he ran a 4.95 40, 172 10-yard split. And when you watched his change of direction, really no wasted movement, really impressive there. Aeneas Peebles out of Virginia Tech, we knew that he was going to run fast. 6 foot, 282. He's one of those smaller guys, really looking for that burst, but ran a 4.94. Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, 6'5 and 276 pounds. This guy lined up all over that Georgia line, but really held his ground there as the starter at defensive end. And, this is a guy, I think five technique isn't out of the possibility. He's a strong individual, but ran a 4.86 40. Definitely looked the part, vertical leap at 36 inches. Also was the top guy in terms of the broad jump at 10 feet, 4 inches as well. So just an overall, really an impressive athlete, and a guy that I think is going to move up draft boards for sure, especially as he gets to continue to work out with guys. Alfred Williams didn't run a 40, but at 6'6 and 332 pounds, pretty impressive bend. He's got those long arms, 34 and 5/8 inch arms. So when he's running that hoop drill, putting those towels down and being able to put those back up, that was pretty impressive to see. Deion Walker, for a dude who is 6'7", was bending a lot better than I think people were expecting. Looked pretty smooth going through some of the drills. Ty Hamilton, really a good motor throughout. That was a guy that you really saw a ton of effort coming out of him. This was a good, smooth group. But like I said, Derek Harmon, to me, has really solidified his status as a first-rounder. I'm looking at both Atlanta and Arizona sitting right there in the middle of round number one, and they both need D tackles. I think Cincinnati as well, although I think Cincinnati may want to take one of the edge rushers to complement Trey Hendrickson. But if B.J. Hill, who's a free agent, leaves, then that opens up a spot there for the Bengals as well. But Atlanta could also go edge rusher. Make no mistake about that. They need to put pressure on the quarterback. That's been kind of their MO for as long as I can remember. It seems like Atlanta, more often than not, is needing pass rush help. Three out of the last 4 years, they were in the bottom two in the league. While they were focusing on the offensive side of the ball, they need to focus on defense. But if you could somehow bring in Derek Harmon to line up at defensive end, be able to put in some work with Grady Jarrett and then get your edge rusher in round number two, I think that would ultimately bode well for you up front. I think Arizona, another team that needs an edge rusher. Zaven Collins led the team in sacks with just 5 this past season. And so when you think about that, they're going to need that edge rusher, but Roy Lopez is gone. Likely will be gone. He's a free agent. Kiaris Tonga, also a free agent. So when you think about that, you've got Darius Robinson, who's coming back from the injury that he battled throughout that rookie year. I think they're hoping to get some production out of him. If you can line up a guy like Kenneth Grant next to him, play that nose, the quickness coming off the football, especially if he runs that 4.8 40, I think 16 isn't out of the realm of possibility. Beyond that, like I said, Alexander, I think, is a round two guy. I think Josh Farmer looked really smooth. He looks like a guy that could come off the board in round two. Alfred Collins, because of that size and the length, round two, round three. Those were the guys that I was really keeping an eye out for. Obviously, the big names like Mason Graham, Walter Nolan, we did not get to see them work out. Obviously, we're going to have to wait for their pro day. One other guy that I wanted to mention was Tyleek Williams. 6'3", 334 pounds. And you watched him in the drills. For as big as he is, moved really well, was able to sink his hips and turn the corner. You see some of that lateral agility firing off the ball. You saw it in the playoffs for Ohio State. I think Tyleek Williams is another guy who's going to come off the board in round number two. If the Jaguars don't land Mason Graham there at number 5 overall, look for them to potentially eye Tyleek Williams in round number 2. That's where I have him going right now. So if we move from the defensive ends, and I thought the defensive ends, it was, like I said, it was a good group, but the playmakers that everyone was looking forward to seeing, they weren't the guys that really took the field there. The edge rushers, I think, kind of stole the show. And when I say edge rushers, the first guy that has to come to mind is freaking Shamar Stewart. Holy cow. 6'5", 267 pounds out of Texas A&M. 34 and an eighth inch arm. So already, you know, this guy walking off the bus looks like the dude, right? Then he proceeds to leap 40 inches in the vertical and then a 10-11 broad jump. 10 feet 11 inches, you know, that was by far the farthest that anybody jumped. And that 40 inches was only a half inch off of Landon Jackson. And if you're watching the broadcast at all on NFL Network, what you saw was guys over 260 with 40-inch vertical leaps. The only other two guys to do it besides Jackson and Stewart in this year's draft were guys named Miles Garrett and Mario Williams, two guys who went number one overall. So that's really, really good company. The problem with Shamar Stewart is, you know, he's a bit of an enigma because of his lack of overall production. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people point to. They say, well, you can't compare him to Miles Garrett, even though the numbers, from an athleticism standpoint, compare favorably. But Miles Garrett had more sacks in, you know, I think maybe a half a season than Shamar Stewart put up in 3 years. Only 4.5 sacks on the year. But obviously, when you look at what he did on the field, 39 total pressures this past season, you know, that's not something to shake a stick at. You know, I mean, that's impressive, being able to get off the ball. Yes, you know, the sack total wasn't there, but you know, this is a guy, again, when I look at him and I think about Shamar Stewart, he's just one of those guys that I think Texas A&M, you saw, you know, his size. You know, I think he was weighing in at like 285, 290 pounds, and you know, ultimately comes in here weighing in at 267. Nick Scorton was also weighing in at like 275, 280 pounds, 6'3", and he ends up weighing at 257. I think Texas A&M had their guys playing a little bit bigger. I think they wanted to make sure that they were stopping the run there against the SEC, and I think, you know, you saw that with Scorton's not only the sack total, but he looked a lot more explosive at Purdue. At the combine, Scorton looked a heck of a lot more explosive than he did this past season for the Aggies. So I think that, you know, it could be part of the scheme that is messing with that production. But again, 39 pressures, you know, that puts Stewart in the backfield. You saw him creating havoc and being disruptive. And I just think about Shamar Stewart. I think about a guy like Odafe Owe, who had zero sacks in his final season at Penn State, was still drafted number 31 overall in 2021, and seven sacks in his career, so not too far off from Shamar Stewart. Fast forward 4 years later, double-digit sacks for the Ravens. Another guy to call out that you know, you can draw comparisons with Shamar Stewart, because I think Shamar Stewart is a more developed run defender than he is against the pass. How about Trayvon Walker, who's 6'5", 275, you know, pretty close in terms of the body type, right? With Walker there at Georgia, you know, ended up with six sacks on the year, 37 tackles, seven tackles for loss. Again, his six sacks, more than what we saw with Shamar Stewart in his career, but with Trayvon Walker, he was known more as a run defender. The pass rush moves were really still under development. He still got the nod over Aiden Hutchinson for the Jags, but this past season, double-digit sacks. So it's one of those things to where you talk about the development. Get Shamar Stewart into a training camp. Get him with an NFL D-line coach, and I think they'll be able to kind of move the needle there with Shamar Stewart. Is he a top 10 guy? I mean, you're talking about Shamar Stewart, that lack of overall production. I think he's definitely a guy that you could probably take in the top 20, but am I going to take Shamar Stewart over Mike Green, who's a polished edge rusher and, you know, 17 and a half sacks this past season to lead all of FBS? I'm not going to do it. You know, Mykel Williams, you saw what he was able to do, you know, against Texas and Kelvin Banks, you know, the explosiveness. Yeah, you know, he was also playing hurt on a bum leg. I'm not taking Stewart over Mykel Williams either. You know, so I think that's the thing, is teams are going to have to decide exactly where they would want to bring him off the board. I just don't see him as a top 10 pick. There are a lot of people talking about the traits and saying, hey, you've got to, it's one of those things where you've got to kind of temper that and balance that out. You don't want to run it, be the team that takes a Mike Mamula, where they're an absolute workout warrior, and then ultimately you don't see that out there on the field. That's really the big concern that I think a lot of people have is, you know, you don't want to take a guy just because of the traits with zero production. Definitely not in the top five, but I think Mamula was, number eight overall pick of the Eagles and didn't pan out. So I think teams are going to want to make sure that they have it right. I think he's a guy that teams are going to go back, take a look at the tape. I think Saints are going to be interested in him. I think the Carolina Panthers are going to be interested in him. So those are definitely a couple of teams there towards the top that'll be interested. I think the Falcons there at 15, Cincinnati at 17. But man, especially when you have some other more productive players, you're really going out on a limb and basically making those projections based on the traits. Given the company that he's been in, with what we've been seeing, how dominant he was at the Senior Bowl, maybe the team say it's worth the risk because of what we've seen so far. Another guy who was really impressive, like I said, was Landon Jackson. He was 6'6", 264 pounds, and that 40.5-inch vertical leap also leaped 10 feet 9 inches in the broad jump, so that's just 2 inches shy of Shamar Stewart. Looked pretty smooth in the drills. You know, you saw him in the wave drill. He looked pretty solid in terms of that change of direction. You also saw him with some bend in the hoop drill. Goes out and runs a 4.68 40, had a 1.65 10-yard split. He was one of those guys to where it took him a little bit to get going, but really the second half of that 40, when he was able to open up and stride out, you know, this dude, he can move. You know, he's a big dude, but he's a guy that can move. I thought the Senior Bowl, he got exposed a little bit in the one-on-ones, but ultimately when he got to game day, it was like it was a completely different player. So it was really nice to see that the workout matched some of the explosiveness that you saw on film. Donovan Ezeraku, 6'2", 248 pounds. You know, if you got to listen to any of the interviews, this was a guy that I thought was incredibly intelligent and well-spoken. He just feels like a first-rounder. You know, incredibly productive there at Boston College. And a dude that, you know, look, he's only 6'2 and a half, but 34-inch arms, so incredible length. The guy that's, you know, you're going to be looking for him coming off the edge. And with me, with Ezeraku, how high could he go? I think he could go as high as to Cincinnati at 17. So this was a guy, again, 14 sacks and 60 total pressures. So that includes, obviously, the sacks there. So you're talking about 60 pressures. So that's 26 hurries. 20 times he was able to hit the quarterback. And then 14 overall sacks. But he's got a wide array of pass rush moves, uses that length to his advantage. You'll see kind of the ghost rush at times as well. He's very cerebral. You know, he's out there playing chess against the offensive linemen, which is really impressive. And, like I said, he's definitely a first rounder. But I think the day, at least in terms of some of the explosiveness, I think the day may have also belonged to James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. 6'5", 245. So not the biggest guy by any means, but he's going to be a 34 outside linebacker. Runs a 4.47 40 with a 1.56 10-yard split. The vertical wasn't overwhelming at 31 inches, just jumps 10.3 in the broad jump. So he wasn't overly explosive there with that lower body twitchiness. But the thing was when you ran that 40 and a 1.56 10-yard split, it's those first three steps. And that translates to what you see on the field. On the field, this guy is just, he's lightning quick. And he's beating guys off the ball. And it's one of those things to where he doesn't always necessarily have to work on those pass rush moves because he's always so quick off the ball and he's beating guys like a drum because of that. So I look at James Pierce Jr. He needs to get in with an NFL coach, work on those pass rush moves a bit. He could really be a nightmare. You watched him bend. You watched him change directions. This guy is an athlete. And we saw the double-digit sacks as a sophomore, as a junior. There was a little bit of regression in terms of the sack total. But I'm a big fan of James Pierce. I think there were some character concerns that were really weird. Not really sure where people were going with it because they wanted to know what made him tick. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense. This was still a guy that had 43 quarterback hurries. You know, if you look at that game against Alabama, he had 7 hurries to go along with 2 sacks in that game. So that's 10 total pressures on the quarterback. It could be absolutely disruptive. Obviously, his motor can run hot and cold. That's really going to be the biggest concern, I think, more than anything else. But, man, when this guy comes to play, he can light it up. You know, had six hurries against Oklahoma, 6 hurries against Arkansas. So, yeah, he may not have had a ton of sacks, 7.5 to be exact. But what you also have with James Pierce Jr. was a guy, he's the only guy that I think in the last 2 years had a win rate of over 20%. And I think that was Football Insights that posted that. So obviously, this is a dude that can get the job done. Beyond that group, I thought Femi Oladejo didn't run the 40, but he looked incredibly smooth. Really nice pop and power in his hands hitting the pads. 36.5-inch vertical leap as well at 6'3", 259. Former off-ball linebacker turned edge rusher, and that's really where I think he made his home. Especially when we look at the next level. I thought Nick Scorton, again, looked pretty explosive, 6'3", 257, bends well, ran well, didn't run the 40, but looked incredibly smooth, turned the corner in a hurry. Jack Sawyer, look, 6'4", 260, I've always thought he's incredibly stiff, and he reminds me a lot of Sam Hubbard. When you watched him there, he actually looked a lot smoother than I was expecting. I was expecting to really see some slow change of direction, and we just didn't see that from him. And so it's one of those things to where I need to go back and watch a little bit more of Jack Sawyer. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but I think he's really solidified his status in round number 2. Baron Sorrell, 6'3", 256, ran a 4.6, 8.40, showed off some good athleticism. Brayden Swinson, at 6'5", 255, you got to see another guy there who bends really well. David Walker, Central Arkansas, did not look out of place at all. 6'1", 263, so he's on the shorter side, but he ran a 4.6, 940, 35-inch vertical leap. When you watched him in the drills, he's got that short, lower center of gravity, and he was able to stay low through the drills. He's one of those guys that I think he's going to win with leverage. That speed to power is just going to jack guys back, and he's got that bend to get right underneath that offensive tackle's pad level and turn the corner in a hurry. Elijah Roberts out of SMU, 6'4", 285, ran a 4.7, 8.40. He's a guy that I think Daniel Jeremiah called it out, that he could have been with the defensive tackles, and I wouldn't disagree with that. He's a guy that's versatile. I think he can play a defensive end in an even man front. He could also be a 5 technique out there on the outside. I think there is some balance issues to him at times. That's really the biggest concern. He and Landon Jackson need to just make sure that that's not an issue to their game. But I thought Elijah Roberts looked pretty solid out there as well. The flip side, I thought that Ja Joyner looked incredibly stiff. Ran a 4.6 40, so straight ahead speed, no issues. But 6'4", 262, you watched him in the drills. His spin move, I think there were multiple steps involved with it. He looked really stiff and out of place. Sean Martin out of West Virginia at 6'5", 293. He's really going to be a 5 technique, and I thought he really should have been with the defensive tackles. He ran a 4.8, 8.40 and just looked incredibly stiff, just looked slow in comparison to the rest of the group. I think teams that are evaluating him need to really take that into account. Prince Umamielen looked pretty stiff. He's 6'4", 244, ran a 4.7, 240. 38-inch vertical leap, so he is a really good athlete, but you saw like in the 3 cone drill, ran a 7.33 cone drill time, which was the third slowest in that group. Really surprising there. I was expecting to see a little bit more athleticism from him. Another guy who, when you watch Ethan Downs play, he's all power, but he was so, his chest seemed to be way over his toes as he was running, so that was something that really kind of stood out. A couple of the high-cut guys, Steve Linton and Jared Ivey. I thought Steve Linton looked really good, especially on the hoop drill, using those 34-and-quarter-inch arms. But Jared Ivey, it looked like he had a hard time bending. That was something that was really evident. Switching gears again, if we look at, talk about a guy like Fadil Diggs out of Syracuse, a guy 6'5", 257, incredible effort, ran a 4.57 40 with a 1.6 split. He's a guy that I think teams are going to go back and want to take a look at. You know, he transferred into Syracuse, and a guy that just continues to get better each and every year. So he's a guy that I think teams are going to be interested in knowing more about, really going back and studying a little bit more tape. Jordan Birch, you know, I think we had him measured in at like 6'6 and 295. He ended up showing up actually at a 6'4, 279. Really a nice athlete. 4'6'7, 40, 33-inch arms. This is a guy that has that violent punch at the point of attack. A guy that was pretty versatile there for Oregon. They lined him up both inside and outside. He's an intriguing prospect because he has that scheme versatility. Ahmed Hassanim was just a fun story. You know, at 6'2, 267, ran a 4.7, 740. You know, didn't look like the most explosive guy, but he's going to give you all-out effort. I think before the hoop drill, he was really getting coach fired up on that drill. And you just see the effort and the passion is there. Double-digit sack guy, you know, he's a guy that just that effort. It's second effort a lot of times. I think there is a lot of stiffness to his game. So he's going to be a mid to late day three guy. But, man, the energy is infectious. Personality was absolutely infectious. He was a guy that was definitely interesting. And I think teams are going to want him in their locker room. One final guy just to make a comment on was Ashton Gelati. Didn't run a 40, ran 6'3", 264, 36.5-inch vertical leap, broad jump, 10 feet. He ran the drills. I thought you saw him drop that center of gravity a little bit. Was losing his balance a bit there. That's what I talked about with Elijah Roberts and losing his balance. That's something that needs to be cleaned up a little bit. So Ashton Gelati, just in terms of those top tier edge rushers, he didn't really stand out in that group when they were going through the drills. And then finally, we get to the linebackers. Linebackers, this was an interesting group because really it was led by Jihad Campbell. And I think we were expecting that going into the day. Jihad Campbell, 6'3", 235, ran a 4.5, 240 with a 1.53, 10-yard split. Very explosive. You watched him in the drills. Incredibly smooth. Change of direction without it. You're losing any speed. They had a drill where he was scooping the ball at the end, and really no waste of movement there, no loss of speed. He was able to reach down, pluck it, and go. He's an athlete, tremendous hands. They were showing the change of direction drill where he was able to slide, run, slide, and then go all out, got outside the numbers, then come back, make the catch. Looked incredibly smooth all the way around. I think this is he had a really strong day, and I think Jihad actually really established himself as a first-round pick, and I think Seattle at 18, Tampa at 19. I think those are two teams that are really going to be pushing to bring him in. I think that's going to be an interesting battle to get Jihad's services. I thought he was really the standout of this group. Carson Schwesinger, at 6'2", 242, this guy went from walk-on to All-American, 90 solo tackles, had a 39.5-inch vertical leap, so the athleticism obviously was there, but hamstring issues, so we didn't get to see him run or anything like that. He's a guy that at UCLA's pro day, I think a lot of people are going to be wanting to tune in, I think really solidify that status as a second-rounder. Beyond that, I thought Demetrius Knight had a good day, looked really smooth in the drill, 6'2", 235, ran a 4.58, 40, 1.58, 10-yard split. The change of direction was a bit, of a concern coming in, especially when you saw him in coverage. That was really the biggest issue, but I thought he looked pretty smooth. Nick Martin, really quick feet, especially on the bag drill. 5'11", 221. Ran a 4.53 40 with a 1.54 10-yard split, 38-inch vertical leap. One of the better athletes overall in the group. And a guy that I think, he'll be a special teams guy, but because of that overall athleticism, he's very active, super active. Charles Davis even brought up the fact that he was able to run down
Xavier Worthy a couple of years ago when Oklahoma State took on Texas, you know, as members of the Big 12. Cain Medrano was from UCLA, clubhouse leader in terms of the 40 time with a 4.46 40, a 1.57 10-yard split. It was really, you know, the start wasn't overwhelming, but it ultimately that second half he really poured it on. 38-inch vertical leap as well, so you can see the athleticism was really off the charts there for Medrano, and he just looks like a special teams guy. You know, you'll find a place for him and let him go to work. I thought Danny Stutzman helped himself out. 6'3", 233, he's down about 4 pounds from what he was playing, around 240 at Oklahoma. 4.5, 240, 1.55, 10-yard split. But it was a change of direction that I think everybody wanted to see, because he was very stiff there at Oklahoma. I thought he looked to be a lot more fluid. So working on that change of direction was definitely important. I thought Jack Kaiser going through the drills looked incredibly smooth at 6'2", 231. Kaiser's just a good athlete, and you know that's one of the things that stood out. You know, Barrett Carter at 6'2", 231 didn't run, but you know, he was another guy that moved pretty well. Surprising, only jumped 9 feet 8 inches in the broad jump. Bit of a surprise there, but I thought overall he looked pretty good as an athlete. Change of direction is there. You know, this is a guy that has incredible ball skills at that linebacker spot. Jeffrey Bassa started as a safety there at Oregon, and you can see some of those safety skills, you know, with his ability to pluck the ball out of the air. 4.6, 4.40, 38.5-inch vertical leap. Jeffrey Bassa, to me, is going to be a third-round pick. I think, you know, he and Carter, third round, feels about right. Danny Stutzman's in that third to fourth round range. You know, Chris Paul, or as he's known as, Pooh Paul, that's the official combine card. 6'1", 222, 4'6", 340, 36-inch vertical leap. This was a guy, you know, I thought, you know, a lot of short, choppy steps, so, you know, he was able to keep that low center of gravity because of it. I thought Kobe King at 6'1", 236 in the drills. I talked about his, you know, he got exposed a bit in the in coverage. And so I saw some of the change of direction where he struggled with that. You know, this is a guy that has range and he's able to run sideline to sideline. But again, and he plays with a lot of effort, don't get me wrong, but it's that coverage. I feel like he's more of a two-down linebacker, which hurts his overall draft stock. Jay Higgins, instinctive guy there out of Iowa, ran a 4.8, 240, just looked a step slow, as did Power Eccles at 5.11, 237, 4.7, 440. And Eccles, you know, the hands, he was dropped a couple of passes there. Carson Bruner ran really well at 4.6, 40 at 6.1 and 227 pounds out of Washington. I think he could be a late day three guy, be a potential special teams beast for someone. I think, you know, same goes for Teddy Buchanan out of Cal, 6'2", 233, 4'6", 140, you know, vertical leap of 40 inches. He's an athlete, but again, special teams is, I think, where he's going to thrive. Eugene Asante is an interesting guy out of Auburn, 6'2", 223, ran a 4'4", 840 with a 1.52 10-yard split, and he's a guy that flies around to the football and makes plays. I think he'll be one of those guys flying under the radar and could surprise at the next level because of the athleticism. One last guy that I want to call out is Jackson Woodard out of UNLV, 6'2", 234. I thought he looked pretty solid and pretty fluid overall in the drills. Nobody's really talking about this guy, and I don't know why. I think he'll end up probably going in that fifth, sixth round range if I had to guess. But last two seasons, over 100 tackles there at UNLV, 251 to be exact in these last two seasons, with 135 total tackles in his senior season with the Rebels. 6 sacks during the last 2 years, 5 interceptions, 16 pass breakups. So this guy is instinctive. He's got a nose for the football. He puts himself in a position to make a play. Also came in with 26 tackles for loss, including 17 this past season. So, you know, this guy will play behind the line of scrimmage. He does a great job working inside out. He's going to track you down. And again, I thought he looked pretty fluid, looked, you know, the change of direction. A guy that was able to cover a lot of ground in the drills as well. So to me, I thought Jackson Woodard, again, fly under the radar, that's okay. I think he'll play some special teams, but I think if you get him on the field, he'll be a guy to keep an eye out for sure. So tomorrow, Friday the 28th, you're going to see the corners, you're going to see the safeties, you're going to see the tight ends. So who are the guys that I think we should get most excited for? I think if you talk about the corners, if you got to listen to Jahdae Barron, any of the stuff on X, and by the way, all the guys on social media do a great job posting some of the videos there. Very well spoken. Another guy, very cerebral in his approach to the game. He's a guy that, you know, he's playing chess out there, and you know, being able to break things down and understand where he needs to be, putting himself in a position to make a play on the football. He's a guy that I'm really interested in, you know, seeing what he runs, what he measures in at as well. I think he's right around 5'11", but he feels like a Trent McDuffie type player, play on both the inside and outside. But look, this is a corner draft where there are a lot of injuries. So I think there are some other guys that are flying under the radar that could really step up. So when I talk about the injuries, you're talking about a guy like Siobhan Revell out of East Carolina. I think he could have solidified his status as a first rounder. I think he's a tweener between first and second. I think right now in my mock draft, I have him going number 34 overall to the Giants. But he could easily come off the board potentially as high as 24 to the Vikings. 6'3", moves really well, excellent ball skills, very fluid for a guy his size. You know, you just don't see guys his size come along very often. Benjamin Morrison, another elite talent there out of Notre Dame. He was a guy that I think was almost a lock towards the end of round one before the knee injury put him out for the year. He's coming back, and again, for both of these guys, as long as those knees check out, I think he'll come off the board in the first half of round number two as well. Then you have Will Johnson out of Michigan. We did get to see a little bit more out of him. We saw a couple of pick sixes against Fresno State and USC, where he was really able to showcase, you know, the instincts, the ability to drive on the football in a hurry, and just step right in front of a couple of poorly thrown balls to the outside and really made the team pay. You know, I look at a team like the Jets, Aaron Glenn. Look, you know, former DB, former defensive coordinator as well, and a guy that loves to run a lot of cover one. You know, you got man coverage out there. If you can put him with Sauce Gardner, that's going to be pretty tough. But, you know, the big question is going to be where he, you know, how he shows up there with the injuries. I think Travis Hunter, obviously everyone's going to want to watch what Travis Hunter can do, the ball skills, but I think the elite movement skills as well. Is he going to run a 40? I'm not expecting him to, but I'd love to see him, just how fast our Heisman Trophy winner is. Trey Amos, is a big physical corner as well. Curious to see, you know, how he runs. I think that's the guy that I'm looking to see potentially stand out. Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky, you know, showed impressive ball skills, not only during the season but at the Senior Bowl as well. A guy that can stick like glue to you. I think he's a guy that could potentially have a standout game or standout day and really solidify his status in probably round two of the draft. Jabbar Muhammad out of Oregon. He's kind of a tweener between either late day two or early day three. He'll be an interesting guy to watch. And then Azariah Thomas out of Florida State. 6'2", I want to say right around 190 pounds-ish. And impressive press man coverage, good length. He's going to be a guy that everyone's going to be watching as a potential. Could he move into round number one? And then Darian Porter. This is a track guy. He's 6'4", around 200 pounds for Iowa State. Want to see just how fast this dude could run. And to me, I still think that, you know, he's either a third, fourth rounder, but the explosiveness, you know, you're not going to be able to see Siobhan Revell out there, but you are going to get to see Darian Porter, who's, like I said, he's a tremendous, tremendous athlete, and I think he'll be out there to turn some heads. Now, the safety position, I think Kevin Winston Jr. would have been a fun guy to see out there, just because we haven't really gotten to see him, much of him, because of that knee injury so early in the year. And you wanted to see, you know, right around 6'1", 210, how he shakes up with the rest of this draft class. Nicky Mamwori, I mean, 6'3", 227, is he going to run a 40? I mean, a guy that big, I mean, he looks like he moves so well. So I think what you really want to see is, you know, this guy's ability with the change of direction. Can't, you know, how fast can he, you know, Turn, flip those hips and run. You know, what does it look like? You know, the back pedal, how smooth is that? And then being able to flip the hips, turn, run. Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. has the receiver skills, so I think the ball skills aren't going to be an issue. But really, his deal was playing against the run, and that's why he came back to Notre Dame, and I thought he showed up really well. So Xavier Watts is a guy that's a lock in round two. I actually have him going to the Jets right now. The Jets, look, they need a couple of safeties as well. I think the Jets in round one could potentially be a landing spot for Shedeur Sanders, especially with a lot of what we've been seeing here at the Combine. We've seen some guys really stand out. So it could be a defense-heavy start to the draft. And if that's the case, then Shedeur could slide to the Jets, which could mean we see Xavier Watts there on day two. Then you got Malachi Starks out of Georgia. Look, Malachi Starks, to me, he's a first rounder. The big question mark is going to be where he comes off the board. I think a lot of people have him all over the place. I think I've seen him as low as 32 to Philly. I think I've seen him as high as 13 to the Dolphins. That's where I have him penciled in right now. I know that there was production kind of dropped off a little bit, but this guy can do a little bit of everything. He can play in the box on one down, then he'll play over the top the next, and then he'll line up and cover a receiver in the slot on third down. So he's got a little bit of everything to that tool belt. Just want to see the type of athlete that he is to really see where he comes off the board. I think that's one of the things. If you're talking about a safety in the first half of round number one, you want to see the type of athlete that they are. Kyle Hamilton, he's a big physical dude there at Notre Dame, impressive athlete, covered a lot of ground for the Irish, but then he shows up and runs a slow 40 time, and everybody thought that, well, a guy that was a lock for the top 10 slid. Ends up going 14 overall to the Baltimore Ravens. So if Malachi is a, say, 13th or 14th overall, if he doesn't run a quick 40 time, if he looks a little sluggish at the combine, then you see him drop into the 20s, 32 to the Eagles, 31 to KC, wouldn't be out of the question. So he's someone really to keep an eye on there. I think Andrew Mukuba out of Texas, intelligent player. He'll be someone to watch. Lathan Ransom out of Ohio State, I want to see fluidity with him. I think he's one of those guys. Is he stiff in those hips? Same with Jalen Reed out of Penn State. I thought he really stepped up on the back end of the defense there for Penn State when Winston went down. But how well can he move? I think that's going to be a big question mark. Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma, Billy Bowman Jr., he's 5'10", right around 200 pounds. The ball skills, his ability to drive on the football was really impressive there. He's not getting out of day two, I don't think, because of his ability to make plays on the football. I think there's going to be it's not a really deep group in terms of the safeties, but I think there's still going to be some guys that teams are going to be jumping on. So it'll be interesting just to kind of see how that safety group works out. And then you get to the tight ends. I think everybody wants to see Tyler Warren out of Penn State. To me, he reminds me a lot of George Kittle coming out of Iowa. Although George Kittle, not the same production that we saw out of the Mackey Award winner with over 1,200 yards. Over 200 yards against USC alone. I think it was 217 on the day. Just put that game film on and just, just enjoy tight end domination over the Trojans there in the Coliseum. And look, USC had a chance to win, but they could not cover the guy. And when you talk about Warren, the reason why I kind of compare him to Kittle, because he loves to block, but then he's also that tremendous athlete. Kittle ran a 4.51. If Warren runs anywhere around there, if I'm Carolina, if I'm New Orleans, those are two teams that are interested potentially in a tight end early, I really stand up and take notice, and I may be interested in him. He's not getting past Indy at 14, but when you talk about tight ends in round number in the top 10, Tyler Warren feels like a guy that could potentially be a slam dunk there. Colston Loveland out of Michigan, another really fluid mover, tremendous athlete. He'll be a guy that I think is going to test well. Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green. Is he the tight end 3 or tight end 4? Elijah Arroyo tweaked his knee at the Senior Bowl, so I think he's going to be okay for his pro day, but he won't be working out at the combine. I think everyone wanted to see just how fast he could run. Is he in the 4.5s? Does he potentially drop lower than that? He's a guy to me that I think is solidified his status as a day 2 pick. When I get back to Harold Fannin at 6'4", 230, he reminds me a lot of Isaiah Likely in terms of the production out there on the field. What you also saw with Harold Fannin, though, was he looked very robotic, very stiff in some of the drills. And so I want to see if that's also going to show up here at the combine. Once he got into the one-on-ones, once he was working against somebody else, it was a completely different story. And so it's just going to be interesting to see how he shows up there. Jackson Hawes out of Georgia Tech. You know, he's got there's some great sound bites from him. He just wants to put his helmet on somebody and make someone's life miserable and beat him up. But you want to see the type of athlete that he is. I think he could potentially be this year's Tip Reinemann. Think about Tip Reinemann. I think he rose all the way up into round number 3. This is a deeper tight end class. I don't think quite we're going to see that. But he's a guy that I think is going to surprise and can move up draft boards quickly. Mason Taylor, I think, you know, everyone just wants to see the type of athlete that he is. And, you know, is he a complete package? I think so. I think he's one of those guys. He'll probably be the fourth tight end coming off the board. And then after that, there's like this group of guys. You know, there's Terrence Ferguson out of Oregon, who I think is going to test pretty well. Gunnar Helm out of Texas. You know, he's a guy that was beating guys down the seam. You know, you want to see the type of athlete that he is. He blocks pretty well as well. Bryson Nesbitt out of North Carolina is a guy that he's a kind of a buffed up receiver, but a guy that I think could end up making a lot of plays down the field. The big question is going to be, how fast is he? That's a big question mark, because if you're kind of an undersized tight end, where do you fit if you run that slow of a 40 time? You know, you worry about that. Aronde Gadsden II out of Syracuse. He's healthy, had that injury. But I think with Gadsden II, he can be a mismatch, a nightmare there on the outside. Reminds you a lot of Jake Brittingstool as well. These guys are not going to be blockers. They're going to be guys you're going to want to line up on the outside or in the slot and let them work the middle of the field, the red zone, and up the seam. Luke Lachey is kind of that jack-of-all-trades type of a tight end. You know, he's an Iowa guy, of course. But how good of an athlete is he? You know, I don't think he's going to be a tight end one. He's certainly not a Sam Laporta type of a guy. So you wonder, is that going to ultimately hurt his draft stock? You know, I think he's a day 3 guy, but definitely someone to watch within that group. Mitchell Evans out of Notre Dame. You watch him on the outside, and he makes plays when Notre Dame would get him the football, but he also looked a little bit of a step slow, to me. So I'm curious to see if he can rebound there. He'll be someone to watch out for. Jalen Conyers is a big, tall tight end, from Arizona State to Texas Tech. Keep an eye out for him as well. Maliki Matavau, I think out of UCLA, he's a guy that could potentially move up draft boards. He was the guy that was there at Oregon, decided to move to UCLA, transfer. So he's someone to watch out for. I'll give you one last name, and that's Robbie Oots out of Alabama. This is a guy that I think could be an H-back or a fullback, tight end. He's big and physical, didn't really do much in the passing game there at Bama from the tight end position, but he's this big, physical dude. And I'm just curious, more than anything else, to see the type of athlete that he is, because, you saw the guy's arms. He just looks ginormous out there. So, again, like Tip Reinemann. So Reinemann was more of the athlete, than Oots was. But I go back and think of Coke Kieft coming out of Minnesota. If you can block, and Oots was a pretty good blocker there at tight end. If you can block, Kieft came off the board in round number 6. So I'm just saying, there's a chance that we could potentially see Oots get himself drafted. I definitely think Hawes, is a good athlete there at the tight end spot. I just don't know how good of an athlete. So I think seeing him against some of these other guys in this draft class will really give you a better idea, really how he stacks up. So Jackson Hawes is one of those guys to me that you could see his name rising up in people's top 10 lists on that tight end spot. Definitely day 3 guy. Could he potentially rise into round 4, round 5, round 4, possibly? So it's an interesting group. I think there are a lot of guys that could come off the board early. Again, Warren, Loveland, are your top two. They're both going round one. I got Warren right now going to Carolina at 8. I've got Colson Loveland coming 20 overall to the Broncos. Then you've got Harold Fannin and Elijah Arroyo coming off the board after that. And then, again, there's that mix of guys. And really, when I talk about the mix, you're talking about Mason Taylor kind of at the top of that group. And then Gunnar Helm, Terrence Ferguson. You can throw Aronde Yazdin the second in there. Maybe Maliki Matavau. There's a lot of guys that do a lot of the same things. And then you've got the athletes. I mentioned Gazdin the second. Really, he's more of that athlete with Brinning Stool, guys that you're not going to expect to block a whole lot, but guys you can split out, put on the outside. And then Mitchell Evans, the big question mark is, where is he with this? Is he in that second group, or is he a step below? I wonder about his athleticism, and I think we'll be able to see that on display when we get to day two of the combine. So stick around. We've got a couple more days of the combine left. We'll talk about what we saw, what to expect, and then after the combine, really start gearing up the mock draft, getting ready for free agency, which teams are going to be targeting quarterbacks, who's going to be looking to trade up, who's looking to trade down. We'll get into all of that. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone, and until next time, I am out of here.